some cases grounding the jets. Reporter Art Khan from NBC affiliate Wavy in Hampton, Virginia, says the restrictions come from the top.
Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta has issued an order to limit flights of the F-22 Raptor to regions where pilots can quickly land the plane if they experience oxygen problems.
The cause of the problem has not been determined. A soldier killed in Cambodia during Vietnam will receive the nation's highest military award today. Specialist Leslie Sabo Jr. saved the lives of several of his fellow soldiers, eventually charging an enemy bunker and blowing it up with his own grenade, which also killed him. President Obama will present the award to his widow and brother. This is NBC News Radio. J.P. Morgan Chase will be the subject of the House Financial Services Subcommittee meeting today. They will debate how best to regulate banks big enough to bring down the financial system. There's a new report out that says banks are giving people with shaky credit more credit cards lately. TransUnion says 25% of all credit cards issued first quarter this year have been issued to high-risk borrowers. General Motors says it's pulling its advertising from Facebook. NBC's Scott Walterman says, not the kind of thing you want the week you're taking your company public.
The decision by General Motors, the third largest advertiser in the United States, marks the first highly visible crack in Facebook's strategy and underscores doubts about whether advertising on Facebook works better than traditional media.
GM says people simply don't respond to the Facebook ads. And Sony Pictures says it's going to make a movie about the life of Steve Jobs. Based on last year's best-selling book, the screenplay will be written by Aaron Sorkin. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Lincoln Financial presents the Chief Life Officer Business Update. The Debbie Carter Corporation has launched a new project management initiative.
I'm hosting a potluck, and need to remind Alice to bring summer sausage and Karen to make her German chocolate cake.
Mmm, chocolate. This Chief Life Officer Business Update, brought to you by Lincoln Financial, where your life is big business. Take charge at LincolnFinancial.com/CLO. Products and financial services provided by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and in New York, Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
how can I help you?
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
that's not in our policy, sir.
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
your business is extremely important to us.
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
When you think of where oil comes from, you might think of the Middle East. But it's time to think USA. This country is now the world's fastest growing producer of oil and natural gas, and together with Canada and Mexico is being nicknamed the new Middle East by some analysts. USA Today cites Citigroup analysis which finds domestic supply growth combined with new efficiency standards could mean complete U.S. energy independence in a decade or less. Bad news for Europe, especially those hoping for some kind of resolution to the continent's debt crisis and Greece's role in it. Stock indexes across Europe are falling after Greece basically threw in the towel, failing to form a new government following elections, which means more elections next month. Among the big issues at stake, whether Greece even remains a Eurozone member. Along with Europe, Asian markets also fell today. S&P futures right now are down, but only by a point. NASDAQ futures losing 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. It never ceases to amaze me what small business owners are able to accomplish each day. Virtually on their own, they provide the goods, the services, the special things that we as consumers look forward to. I often wonder, how do they do it? Well, for a lot of them, they go to the UPS store. They get the help they need, and they get more done. What do? When they have a big meeting or presentation? Well, they rely on professional printing services from the UPS store. What about when they have to be across town, but they're expecting a package? They get a mailbox at the UPS store and let the professional staff sign for their packages and keep them secure until they can pick them up. And when small business owners have to ship something, no matter how fragile, awkwardly sized, or shaped, they can rely on the packing and shipping experts at the UPS store. So really, the question isn't how do they do it, it's where. And now you know.
We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, Talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want. The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people. For the people. Made in America. It's time to punch in for your
First Shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Shift. It is Wednesday, the 16th day of May, 2012. I hope that you're all having a great week. Midweek already, and it begins to really blow my mind as I was doing some errands yesterday, ran off to the gym, and tried to get back in a reasonable amount of time, and I'm prepping for today's show and doing a lot of reading and returning phone calls and checking out emails and allowing Vinny to drive me nuts. Vinny would be my dog, of course. And it just occurs to me how quickly this year is flying by. I just find that unbelievable. I really do. So if you've got something you need to get done, chances are you better get to it. I'm serious. It's blowing my mind how fast time is going by. The other thing is, and I think this is indicative of us getting, at some level of us getting, you know, closer to the summer months, which gets us closer to primaries, which gets us closer to the general election. The conservatives are out with fangs and claws extended. I am getting it, big time. Not that I'm complaining because I find it quite humorous, but I'm blown away by how much negativity there is out there from the right. And I have to ask the obvious question. Michal Akis and I briefly mentioned this during the show yesterday, but I do have to ask the obvious question. Is it because we are getting it right that is upsetting all of you conservatives? Or is it because you just can't quite figure out how to dent the armor? And why, you know, and I don't understand why people make it personal. That's the other thing that just confuses me. The name calling, you know, it's, why is it personal? That I don't get. If you can make it personal against the president or another politician, I get that. That's them. But all I'm doing is reporting the truth. And I find it interesting how difficult that is for some of you. The truth obviously hurts. Sometimes it does. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you today. In fact, I'm really excited about our lineup today. In 1 hour, in the next hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, in 1 hour alone, we're going to have the author of a new book out, titled In Defense of Teachers. In fact, I've purchased some of the books. We're going to be giving some of them away over the next few days or so. And when they're gone, they're gone. But Barry Schumer will be with us, the author of that book. Courtney Foley from my union, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, will be joining us to talk about some stuff that's coming up this weekend in regards to Protect Our Jobs and that ballot initiative that we've been talking so much about. Occupy Detroit will punch in with us at 7:50. Ryan Bates will join us to talk about an immigration issue that I'm excited, and not in a positive way, but excited to get to you, because you can help. You can always help. And we need to have a greater discussion on immigration very, very soon, and we'll come back to that. Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press will join us at just after 8 o'clock, and Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood as we continue our weekly series for the next year will join us as well. So we have both a full day and an empowering day and so many levels, a very exciting day. But let's get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Oh, decision. And decision is a good word for today. As many of you know, yesterday was the filing deadline for whatever you wanted to run for statewide, federal. If you wanted to be a candidate, yesterday at 4 p.m. was the filing deadline. Were there surprises? You betcha. One of them, which we'll get into with Stephen Henderson a little bit later on in the show today, a Democrat has decided to run in the Grand Rapids area as a Republican, basically screwing over the Democrats. We'll get to that, but when you read, or when I read to you, what the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party had to say about this particular lawmaker, well, let's just say I think they had to clean it up before they could print it. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know this guy. Don't quite know why he did it. But decision. Your decision to run, decision not to run. Interesting as we look at some of the congressional races. And again, we'll have time to talk about this as we work our way through the morning. I'm just saying that decisions were made yesterday, some of them smarter than others. And as we break this stuff down, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, just because there's so much to get to. But as we make a decision, it can be both a good thing and a bad thing, depending on what you were hoping to have happen. Those of us that are paying attention to this stuff, I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday about some House races, and I said, I don't want to, you know, and she said, well, which races are important? I said, you know what? Until we know if there are going to be primaries in some of these races, I got to keep my mouth shut. You know, and at the end of the day, as we make a decision after decision after decision, maybe it's time we make sure that we're educated. Because when we're educated, we do tend to make better decisions. All right, that's today's first word. And, the decision was made in the ninth inning to pull the relief pitcher for another relief pitcher. Was that the right decision? Well, the Tigers won, so I guess the answer is yes. But, Jeffrey Radford, I don't know why Jose Valverde was pulled, because I was in the middle of making dinner and missed what happened. So what happened? Why did they pull him?
He got hurt.
Well, I know, but what happened?
Apparently it looks like it's back problems, according to the website. But he just grimaced in pain after one of his pitches, and Vila went out there right away, called the trainer out, and the next thing you know, out comes Dotel. So
yeah, that's, you know, again, I was just right in the middle of getting dinner ready, and I only walked away for maybe 90 seconds, and when I came back there was this big this big confab on the mound, and I was like, what the heck's going on, you know, and so I had to go back to the stove, and then I came back, and all of a sudden Dotel was coming in, and it got a little ugly after that. But, you know, Jeff, the Tigers did win, so we'll take the victory and move on. But
although the last pitch of the game was pretty exciting.
Yes, it was. In fact, Anthony and I at that point were in the kitchen, so we weren't watching the game, but we had it on, and I said to him, what just happened? He said, I think somebody just saved a home run.
It was close. I mean, warning track power. The guy who apparently has been really hot for them lately, Diane Viciado, which I think is
a household name.
Yes, everyone knows. I mean, that just rolls off your tongue, too, by the way. I think it's Diane, but they keep saying Diane like it's a girl's name. But it's anyway, Viciado, the big Cuban outfielder who's been tearing the ball up. I mean, they've been expecting big things from him for a while, but he didn't have the biggest day of all the White Sox, though. How about A.J. Pierzynski?
Yeah, quite a day yesterday.
Unbelievable. They couldn't get him out for the life of it. In fact, I think it's only his, second career 5-for-5 game? But still, guy's outstanding. But he's still a jerk until he's on your team kind of guy, but...
Fair enough.
He's a Bill Laimbeer type. There's guys out there who, if they're not on your team, you just can't stand them. But if they're on your team, man, you love the fact that he's on your team.
Here, let me make this simple. For you, if I were to say Detroit Red Wings, who is that guy?
Now you put me on the spot. Simple. Now I'm trying to think. I'm trying to read your mind.
Bertuzzi.
Here.
It's just Bertuzzi. I mean,
Bertuzzi,
If he's not on your team, he's an ass. You know, you don't like him when he's not on your team.
Yeah, you know, I was going, I was thinking of all the rivalries, you know, I'm trying to go through like the Avalanche. I'm like, who on the Avalanche? Maybe Joe Sakic, but not, I mean, not really. I guess everybody still likes, Sakic was a likable guy for even Wings fans. I wouldn't go Lemieux. I mean, I wouldn't want him on my team anyway.
No, but anyway, so they went yesterday. That's ultimately a good thing. I, of course, missed the beginning. They scored, was it six runs in the eighth?
Or the eighth run. Eight runs in the sixth.
There you go. And I missed that because God nice forbid enough. I was actually working.
Yeah, they were nice enough to hold off for that rally until I got back, until I got home.
Well, I'm glad that they accommodated you in that regard.
It was awesome. First of all, it, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on one of the nicest days that we've had in a long time. You know, 83 degrees, sun's out, no slight breeze, so you're a little bit cooled off. I am not. I'm sorry. I'm a Tigers guy, but I, since they're on the road, I was not going to sit in the apartment cooped up watching the game while weather like that was going on. So I went outside and enjoyed the weather, came back, it's 6-0, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then next thing you know, it's 8-6, and I'm like, this is much more like it. So I didn't miss. The Tigers didn't show up until I got home, so.
Well, I was, the phone kept me hopping, and of course, once I turned the audio off, which generally means I'm otherwise occupied. So I didn't catch it, and then I turned the TV off in my office and take the dog outside, and then when I came back in, that inning was over. So
you missed this then.
Here's Rayburn. He sends one high in the air, deep left center field, way back, and that ball is gone. Rayburn, a 3-run shot.
Yeah, I did miss that. In fact, oddly, that's not on my audio list. Isn't that interesting?
Ryan freaking Rayburn, which is funny because people are just pounding Leland, right? And he keeps playing this guy, and yet yesterday that was the big shot.
Yeah, in fact, one of the questions yesterday on Sports Talk Radio is it time to cut Ryan Rayburn? I don't know if you heard that conversation yesterday. The answer would be, after yesterday, probably not. Just saying. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got plenty to get to. Your calls are always welcome. 888-552-3595. When we come back, we had a call yesterday from a guy by the name of Mark in Birmingham. I got a lot of email on that. Why? Well, I'll explain it to you when we continue. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Take a look at your roadways. We got one problem on 696 eastbound, just before Telegraph Road. An accident has your right shoulder blocked with one car in a ditch. But traffic is flowing freely. No slowdowns in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71, and it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Professor Ian Robinson, I want to welcome you to First Shift.
We haven't seen anything like this since the American Association of University Professors way back in the day formed in order to, you know, articulate and defend the idea of academic freedom. Because back in those times, if professors, faculty tried to teach courses that seriously address the interests of what we would nowadays call the 99%, they were quite likely to be fired from their university positions because the power of the business community was such that they often sat on the university boards, or they had such power in the legislatures that if it was a public university, they could arrange to, through the regents or whatever the governing body of the public university was, to have those folks fired. So we fought for and over the years built up a pretty strong principle of academic freedom. It got violated in the Cold War days, the McCarthy era in the 50s, but since then we haven't seen that kind of effort by legislatures and individual politicians on the right to reach in and actually, you know, changing, violating the principle of academic freedom by reaching into people's syllabus and trying to tell them what they can and can't teach on the penalty of major loss of funding.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good morning to you. I had mentioned, you know, this is not the first time that he's done it. So let me just explain just briefly what happened. As some of you know that were listening a little later on in the show yesterday, we got a call from a guy by the name of Mark in Birmingham. And Mark began his call by telling me why I never let him talk and I always interrupt him and I always hang up on him. What was interesting about that particular characterization is he says this every, and Jeff, if I get any of this wrong, you'll correct me, but he does this every time he calls the show, right?
Right.
And I had said to him at least, and I didn't go back and listen to the podcast, and maybe I will later today, but I said to him at least three times, you know, Mark, just go ahead and say what you want to say, right? I was just, go ahead and say it. We didn't need for him to go on and on and on ad nauseum about how I wasn't going to let him talk because he was the one that was actually stopping himself from talking. Now, I got 12 emails on this, with the exception of two, which called me, you know, every particular name you could think to call somebody that isn't nice. The other 10 emails, interestingly enough, Jeff, asked me this question, basically. What is wrong with this guy, Mark? What's interesting about that is I can identify at least three of the emails came from conservatives that write me quite often, mostly very negatively. One of them even went on to say, and I quote his email, Mark makes all conservatives look bad since you were basically begging him to make his point and he was ignoring you, basically begging you to hang up on him. Now, that's from a conservative. I don't know what more I could have done with this guy. But it just goes to show you that even when you give everybody, Jeff, access to this forum we call First Shift, they don't know necessarily how to handle it. I can't. People are asking me to explain why he was so wound up. Because they said, you know, did you do something in the past that upset him? And, you know, beyond just disagreeing with him, which, of course, I profoundly do on most everything. In fact, I don't think Mark and I have ever agreed on anything, unlike some other conservative guys and gals that call the show. You know, Mark and I don't have anything in common. But, you know, beyond that, Jeff, I think I've been fairly, fair with him, don't you?
Well, the thing is we don't you don't and we don't on as the show let people go on for 5 or 6 minutes. So eventually, yes, we are going to hang up on you once you've made your point. In Mark's case, he sometimes makes his point and then says it over and over again, thinking the more often he says it, the more often, I guess, the more forceful it becomes. And we're not, you know, it's your show. So we're going to, you know, take care of it that way. So maybe he's taken exception to how quickly we've let him go. And then he comes on, and it's not just him, but it is mostly him, who comes on, and the first thing he's got to say is something snide about how he was let go the previous time. And anytime you get on somebody else's show and you start chastising them for how they handle their show, that's not a good way to stay on said show.
Absolutely. And again, I just want to go, and we're not going to grab the audio and play. We're not going to do anything like that. The point that I want to make, and I want to make the point for everybody, let's let this be a learning opportunity for people. Make your point. When you call the show, instead of bashing me and telling me repeatedly what I'm going to do, which you predicted it because you continued to just belabor the point. And so, to this moment, I have no idea what he wanted to talk about. I mean, he told you guys he wanted to defend the banks and the 1%. And for all I know, that he's part of the 1%. I have no clue. I have no idea how much money this guy makes. I would have no way of knowing that. But at the same time, why didn't he just make his point? I was literally at least three times said to him, all right, Mark, I get it. Go ahead. And what did you call for? What did you want to say? Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Mark. Mark's. And then, you know, he just got to the point. So I don't know why he didn't just make his point, because we were basically begging him to do it. But we'll let it go now. And for those of you, the two of you that did write me to tell me what an asshat I was for hanging up on him, again, I think Jeff perfectly pointed out it is my show. We normally don't let people ramble on forever, especially when they're being derogatory towards me. What's the point of doing that? It is my show, after all.
And really, we've done it to both sides. There's times where we've had to quickly let go of somebody who you completely agree with. It's just time restraint.
Oh, there's no question. Listen, I would love for everybody to be well, you know, before they get on the show, to be well thought out, articulate, ready to go. And I realize that not everybody's there. Jeff, you and I, you know, you do your own show. You sometimes we struggle to get the words out. So we get that. I realize for some people, they get very nervous. Every time I go anywhere publicly, like Saturday, I was up at the Michigan Summit in Lansing, you know, and somebody said, oh, yeah, I called your show once, and I just, you know, stumbled all over myself. I was so nervous when I called. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, as you probably are as well, Jeff, why would you be nervous? You're on the phone. Nobody can see you. Nobody knows who you are. What's there to be nervous about? But I get it. People get nervous about that. They want to sound intelligent. They don't want to make mistakes. They don't want to stutter. I get all that. Again, I've been doing this 18 years, and God knows I still have issues, as many of you like to point out to me, by the way. But that's okay. It is what it is. So I get it. It's just, there are times, no matter what your political point of view is, you probably shouldn't have called the show to begin with. We've had a few calls, even from those, Jeff, on our side, where I'll get done with the call and go, and the point of that was, don't know. Anyway, so I was mentioning a little earlier that the filing deadline was yesterday. And again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today. I'll if I have time tomorrow or the next day, but I just want to point out, because we talked about making sure, and I still don't have the complete answer to this, which is why we're not talking about it in detail today, that we wanted to make sure that there was a Democratic challenger for every House seat. And I don't believe there is. I'm pretty darn sure there's not a Democratic challenger for every seat in the state House. It's hard. I've been a candidate. It's hard to run against an established incumbent, especially a multi-term incumbent, although at the state level, that doesn't say much since we have term limits now, which we desperately need to get rid of. In fact, Jeff, if I can on air give you a note, we need to do something, a show in the near future on term limits and eliminating term limits. Unfortunately, I already know the answer to the question, but we should still have the discussion. With that said, you know, we take a look at the people that are running, and again, some of them we've already had on the show, some of them we will have on the show. The bottom line is democracy is working, and interestingly, and even in seats that are safely Republican or safely Democrat, a lot of primaries where I didn't think there would be. And that really is the point I wanted to make here. There are a lot of Republican-on-Republican violence coming your way and a lot of Democrat-on-Democrat violence coming your way in the primary season. Why? That's a great question. I don't know. Who would want this? Who would want this? Well, we'll find out. All right, a quick break here. We've got some audio to get to on the other side, some local and national issues that we would like to get to you. And, of course, you're welcome to join us, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take a quick break here on 1310 WDTW, and we'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Take a look at your roadways. We got one problem on 696 eastbound, just before Telegraph Road. An accident has your right shoulder blocked with one car in a ditch, but traffic is flowing freely. No slowdowns in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71. And it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Jim Peterson, you just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the State House?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governor stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Rather than finding ways to cooperate with the natural world, America's agribusiness giants reach for the next quick fix in a futile effort to overpower nature. Their attitude is that if brute force isn't working, they're probably not using enough of it. Monsanto, for example, has banked a fortune by selling a corn seed that it genetically manipulated to produce corn plants that won't die when sprayed with a toxic weed killer called Roundup. Not coincidentally, Monsanto also happens to be the maker of Roundup, so it has profited from the seed and from the huge jump in Roundup sales that the seed generated. Slick. But Mother Nature, damn her, has rebelled. So much of Monsanto's poison was spread in the past decade that weeds naturally developed a resistance to it. As a Dow Chemical agronomist put it, the real need here is to diversify our weed management systems. Exactly right. We need non-chemical, non-GMO, sustainable systems that work with nature. But no, the Dow man didn't mean that at all. He was calling for more brute force in the form of Dow's new genetically altered corn seed that can absorb Dow's superpotent 2,4-D weed killer. Use this, he says, and nature will be defeated. Wrong. Nature doesn't quit. The weeds will keep evolving and will adapt to Dow's high-tech fix, too. By pushing the same old thing relentlessly, says an independent crop scientist, agribusiness interests ratchet up America's dependence on the use of herbicides, which is very much a treadmill. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to start listening to the weeds and cooperating with Mother Nature. To advance this common sense approach, a national coalition is backing a California Right to Know initiative requiring GMO-altered foods to be labeled. To help, go to organicconsumers.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, Visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
35 minutes after the hour, I am Tony Tribbiano. A pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday program, and I'm even more excited because we have an amazing lineup of guests for you today. I'm looking forward to introducing you to Barry Schumer, who is author of the book In Defense of Teachers. I told you that I bought some of the books, and we're going to be giving them away. It's a book you need to read. I read it. I loved it. And you'll find out why in the next hour. But let's go back to the phones. And again, feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. Again, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's welcome Laura in Royal Oak. Good morning, Laura. Thanks for punching in with us this early morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Tony?
Good, thanks.
Good. I wanted to comment because I noticed this morning that you've been, say, commenting on getting a lot of attacks that go personal. And I think a lot of that is ignorance. I find that when they can't come back at you with facts or you stump them up, they resort to personal attacks because that's the only way that they know how to defend. And you see that a lot with the Conservative Party and a lot of people who are just so single-minded that they can't think on their feet.
Laura, you're so right. Let me briefly tell you, I won't even get into the story, but I was reading a story online yesterday, and of course there's the comments section underneath, right? And so I'm looking at the comments, and every comment by a conservative was an insult to either somebody else that had posted a comment or an insult to somebody that was written about in the story itself. Not one fact, literally, Laura, not one critical fact was used in defense of their position. Now, there were only a couple people that were on the other side of the issue, but they were saying, hey, let's look at the facts here. And that they literally were writing that. Let's look at the facts here, but they would get ignored. So you perfectly put that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and you find that more often than not. And you have to realize that in this day of politicians, since post-Citizens United, that they pay people to sit on pages and do nothing but be negative. So when you come back with facts or positive, they don't know how to react to that. So they resort to those type of attacks. So liberals and Democrats and progressives want to look to the future and make positive changes, and they don't want their status quo to change. So stay positive. You're doing a great job. And when you start ticking people off, you know you're really doing a good job.
Thanks, Laura. I do appreciate that and the support. Have a great day. She's right. Of course, she's absolutely correct. And then I get that. I do. I get it. Okay, let's take a look at some of the stuff that's going on locally. This is actually good news for our friends in Southwest Detroit. Those of you that are listening out in the Southwest Detroit area, it got a little quieter yesterday. Why is that? Well, according to this piece on Fox 2 News, WKBD-TV, the Gateway Project, well, again, provided a little relief. Let's listen to it.
Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly makes a stop in Southwest Detroit to celebrate the completion of the primary promise of the Gateway Project.
I'm so happy for the people who had to live hour by hour, day by day, year by year, with a constant stream of heavy traffic causing noise and vibration and pollution stopping in their neighborhoods. And it's no wonder that those neighborhoods struggled.
The two-lane truck road on the Ambassador Bridge Plaza opened yesterday. It provides a straight shot to I-75 and 96, eliminating the need for noisy big rigs inbound from Canada to clog neighborhood streets.
This is pivotal. This is a long time coming, not only for the department, but for also the people in this area, the residents that have just dealt with truck traffic on the residential streets in their neighborhoods for years and years, waiting for a resolution, and today it's finally come.
Father Riley of St. Anne and Historic Catholic Church, a stone's throw from the plaza, is praising the new truck route and MDOT for finishing it so quickly.
It'll make a big difference. We haven't been able to come out on St. Anne Street for
I think, at least 5 years.
The opening of the truck road comes just 2 months after a local judge ordered Matty Maroon and the bridge company to hand over control of the $230 million Gateway project to MDOT, ending years of legal wrangling. And the rest of the Gateway project is expected to be finished by October. Live in Southwest Detroit, Amy Andrews, Fox 2 News.
And again, just good news, and wanted to share that little slice of good news with you this morning. Again, folks that have lived in that area for a long, long time have suffered greatly, and I don't think you can fully appreciate, I can't fully appreciate what they've been through, but to know that great relief happens when progress is made, and indeed, in this circumstance, progress was made. WDIV Channel 4 reported, as many news outlets have, that Warren Buffett, the multi-billionaire investment guru, well, gave a wink and a nod to a local company yesterday. This is what he did.
GM is on the rebound, as all of us know. And I'm told that this is a sign, this investment is a sign that Buffett is optimistic about General Motors and the future.
No matter what happens in the economy.
The news hit not long after the closing bell on Wall Street. A federal filing shows billionaire Warren Buffett's holdings firm purchased 10 million shares of General Motors stock sometime this year.
It's a vote of confidence from one the most prominent investor in America, in the whole world.
The GM investment cost Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway an estimated $256 million. Auto analyst Jamie Butters says even at 10 million shares, the number represents a small slice of the pie, but the overall impact could be huge.
And it has sort of the sense of telling Detroit and this area where GM has so much of their manufacturing and white-collar presence as well, that there's a strong future here and more growth to come. Hopefully some job security for our neighbors.
The firm's other big investments include Walmart, IBM, Kraft Foods, and DirecTV. GM is now 3 years out from bankruptcy. This investment is considered a sign of optimism because analysts say when Buffett makes a move, many investors are typically quick to follow.
It's a great show of confidence in GM, of confidence that the company is going to continue to be profitable, that the industry is going to continue to be strong.
All right. And so, you know, what does that tell us? Well, I would think that this is going to send a message, a very clear and loud message to the investment community that General Motors is nobody to mess with. Interestingly, in an unrelated story, GM is pulling its advertising from Facebook, which is about to go public. I believe it's on Friday. And the reason they're pulling their advertising from Facebook, they claim it just doesn't work, that it's not worth the investment. And listen, there's ways to measure that stuff. So if they're saying it doesn't work, well, it doesn't work. There was some recent polling done that said that 83% of people that use Facebook do not ever click on the sponsored advertising links. So I ask you the question, and we'll maybe perhaps make that our Facebook poll question for tomorrow. Jeff, do you ever click on an advertisement on Facebook? I never have, not once.
No, not one that I don't already know. Like, if I already use it, and I might click the like next to it because I'm like, yeah, that's something I like and enjoy.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't even do that. 83% have never clicked on a link, sponsored ad link. And understandably, I think it's just one of those things. We're inundated with advertising.
I don't know if that means it doesn't work, though.
Well, it doesn't work because it's click-throughs. That's how they measure that. So if you're not clicking through, then whatever ad that is there isn't being looked at. So it obviously doesn't work.
No, well, I wouldn't say that's obvious though.
Okay, well then I'm listening
because you're judging it based on if they click on the ad or not. The fact that it's over there and that it's showing, you know, it's basically putting front and center that company's logo and that you're thinking about them is, I would say, putting it top of mind.
Okay, and I'm going to profoundly disagree. Number one, you're making the assumption that people are even paying attention what's on that list, and I would suggest they're not even paying attention to it, number one. Number two, maybe the name of the company is there, but what they're advertising isn't necessarily obvious. So you do have to click through to find out what their deal is. Now, you and I both know because we've probably either gotten links on this or somebody had posted it, you know, you can get like free pita chips or a coupon for something if you click through and like a business's page, right? We've all seen those. I've done that. So I guess in a way that works, but that's not really paid advertising because that's more viral.
How many times have you seen a Nike commercial where you have no idea what they're selling? But
well,
that's the point I was just going to make.
Advertising seems to be have little to do with the product anymore. It's about the brand, but it has very little to do with the product.
All right, so then on the side, when you're on Facebook, and on the side, all of a sudden,
I don't even pay attention to it. I'm saying I don't think the
but
majority
you're assuming
of people
that people aren't that assuming that people don't pay attention. Just
I'm not assuming it. I know it to be fact because I'm quoting a poll I read just yesterday afternoon that said people totally ignore those. Period, and only 70% actually click through. People just ignore them. They don't even look at them. So that's what it's based on. It's not based on my opinion. It's based on the poll that I read. You okay with that now?
Sure.
Obviously, you're not, but that's okay. We're going to take a break and come back. Feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. We're going to take a look at some national stuff. I find this so interesting. Fox News, which, of course, I don't know that they any longer pretend that they're not the conservative news outlet and they're totally slanted. They don't try to convince us otherwise, right? They don't still say they're fair and balanced, do they? I'm asking that as a serious question. I don't believe they do that any longer. I could be wrong. I don't watch it. Or very little of it. Less than, 20 minutes a month. Anyway, we'll come back. Neil Cavuto is upset, and he's upset for, not with, for Mitt Romney. We'll take the break and talk about it on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation, who wrote the Constitution, specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state, so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Tony Trupiano. I appreciate you punching in with us this morning. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. As I suggested before the break, Neil Cavuto of Fox News. And Jeff, they don't claim to be fair and balanced anymore, do they?
I'm like you. I haven't seen it in a while.
All right. I don't think they do, though. I think they've pretty much given that up. And
they switched to unfair and leaning right?
Well, I don't know that they've quite gone to being honest, but I don't think that they try to fool us anymore with fair and balanced. Although, What's O'Reilly's thing, the no spin zone, right?
Yeah.
And I loved, you said this, it was either last week or the week before, you said to me, and I don't know if it was on air or off air, but but you were so right when you said it, it like slapped me in the face. Fox is great at having their hosts of other shows as guests on other shows. And they do that all the time. And I don't know if that's cost promotion. I don't know if they can't find guests. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is, but it's not uncommon. Lately O'Reilly's been having Dennis Miller on a lot, but he's not a Fox News guy, but they do have their hosts on other shows as guests a lot, which is just really odd. Anyway, Neil Cavuto just thinks it's wrong, damn it, just fundamentally wrong what the media is doing to Mitt Romney. This is what he had to say.
Never mind, it happened, what, almost 50 years ago. It is still all anyone is talking about today, whether Mitt Romney's actions as a teenager tell us something scary about Mitt Romney, the man now, that he's a bully, or worse, a homophobic, or worse yet, a bullying homophobic. And all of this based on an alleged incident that even the so-called victim's closest relatives are now disputing. No matter, this stuff matters. And if you're the mainstream media and the stuff is really bad, it really matters, even if it happened, like I said, a half a century ago. If it's bad enough then, it is good enough now. But what if it was good stuff then? Is it good enough to report on now? No. Unless something fits the suspicious narrative, and you are Mitt Romney, the media, well, suspiciously leaves it out. So, if you think Mitt Romney is a rich, elitist, spoiled jerk, naturally you'll pounce on a story that confirms such behavior when he was a teenager, even when, like I said, some are disputing it.
All right. All right. So here's the question. Actually, there's a different question to ask. It's not just do you think that Mitt Romney is dot dot dot. The question is it fair? And I think it's a legitimate question, Jeff. Is it fair if you're going to report the bad stuff, shouldn't you be reporting the good stuff? And my answer to that would be yes, absolutely. So here's the question: why aren't they reporting the good stuff?
It doesn't sell.
Well, maybe it's not there. I'm just suggesting maybe there's nothing. I mean, you know, you and I didn't get to the audio yesterday, but Mitt Romney did an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network, and the Pollyannish reporter had asked him about saving some boaters out on the lake some years back, right? I don't remember. It was at night. I remember that. They kept on bringing up a dog, which I thought was, and you thought was rather odd. But it was a nice story. They heard noise out on the lake at night, and so they took their wave runners and they went out and saved these people that were out on the water. Okay, good story. Is there a reason? I mean, somebody want to suggest why the mainstream media, I am suggesting the Christian Broadcasting Network is not mainstream media. Is there a reason why the mainstream media didn't run with that story, Jeff? Probably because it just doesn't sell.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, and the funniest part is this whole Neil Cavuto thing is talking about Mitt Romney, but he could very well just be, you know, insert Barack Obama's name. Hey, think about it. Oh, they've gone deep into the past. Like, they haven't done that with Barack Obama. They don't report the good stuff he did when he was a kid. Yeah, they haven't done that. I mean, if you're a candidate for president, the negative stuff will open eyes and people will be shocked. I can't believe he did that. Now, if all the news reported was, well, you know, Mitt Romney did good deeds as a kid and Barack Obama was a community organizer and did good deeds, nobody would care.
Right. And listen, it's, you know, it's the sizzle that sells, and there's no sizzle in being a community organizer. There's no sizzle in going off on your wave runner in the middle of the night and saving a family and their dog from near disaster. So I get that.
You know, what's funny is you talked to me yesterday and you said, I asked you, well, what's the biggest network? Because we had talked about how CNN is slowly losing interest. And CNN, I would have thought, in my opinion, and some people have told me, oh, no, they definitely lean one way or the other. But I think they've tried to be somewhat neutral and then lately looked around and been like, well, wait a minute, Fox News and NBC, MSNBC lean one way or the other, and they're getting more eyes because they have an opinion. It seems like opinion more so than fact.
Well, a point of view, if nothing else. What's interesting about that is CNN, and I would agree that they have positioned themselves as more of a moderate network, right? I mean, I think that's what you were suggesting, correct?
Right.
All right. So with that said, I do think they lean more left than right, but I'm saying minutely. There's no question that Fox News is extremely conservative and very distrustful, and well, I could go on. MSNBC, you know, they do the whole lean forward thing where they're trying to claim they don't lean left. They do lean left, but they're certainly not nearly as left as Fox is right, if that makes sense to those of you that are listening to this conversation right now. But it doesn't really matter. Does the degree of which way they lean matter, Jeff? I don't think it does. I think if you're MSNBC, people see you as being liberal. If you're Fox, people see you as being conservative. Now, the question is MSNBC a response to Fox News? If that's the way they're doing it, then they're doing it wrong. And I don't think that's the way they're doing it, so let me say that out front. I think they have some quality programming. There was a time where I used to watch Fox News, but that was a long time ago. And the reason that I used to watch it is because they were making an effort to try to be at some level, I don't want to say fair, but at least open-minded. And they make no effort to do that any longer. Roger Ailes, who many of you know runs Fox News, is from the Karl Rove school of attacking people. He truly, literally is. This guy is a former Republican insider. I mean, high-level Republican insider. So when he was hired, after he left George Bush the first and went over to Fox News, they hired him because they were ready to brainwash the American people, and he knew how to do it. He absolutely knew how to do it. And if any of you think that the media isn't about brainwashing, you should think again. I want to remind you, I don't consider myself a member of the media. I'm an activist with a microphone. Am I trying to brainwash people? No. You know, I guess we could split hairs on that. I'll let you decide that for yourself, because you're going to do it anyway, which is kind of my point. Right? Jeff, you and I both know people that listen or watch Fox News that think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? We do.
Yep.
There are people that watch MSNBC and feel the same way. But we also know people that can't stand either one of them. All right, so take that for what it's worth. A quick break here. Barry Schumer, when we continue, he's in studio with me. We've got a whole half hour with him. His book, In Defense of Teachers. Sadly, we do need to defend them. And I'm talking about mostly public school teachers, but I don't know that anybody gets a pass anymore. In fact, you've got to wonder how much longer it will be before those that live in states like Michigan will not even seek that certificate, because it no longer pays to be a teacher. And that is a sad reflection on what's happened. And we in this state of Michigan have to bear some responsibility for that. We'll take a break. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
We're just watching that one accident.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're just watching that one accident on eastbound 696 just before Telegraph that has your right shoulder blocked, but traffic is moving freely in that area. But you got to slow down on 696 westbound between DeQuinda Road and 75, and also got some slow traffic on 94 westbound between 26 Mile and 23 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71, and it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. The battle over Uncle Sam's budget is about to kick in once again as congressional leaders square off with President Obama at the White House today. NBC's Brian Moore.
President Obama is issuing a to-do list for Congress and holding a rare sit-down with top lawmakers, one of the first orders of business, raising the debt ceiling so the government can pay its bills.
The bears still roaming Wall Street as stocks continue a two-week slide that has shaved nearly 5% off the Dow. This despite encouraging news from the housing industry, home builder confidence hitting a five-year high. There may be a lot riding on the Roger Clemens steroids trial, but somebody please tell the jury. The judge has had to dismiss two jurors for falling asleep during testimony. And is it a fatal distraction? Some cities and towns are considering laws against careless walking. For example, walking while reading your smartphone. Police in Fort Lee, New Jersey have begun issuing $85 fines for careless walking. This is NBC News Radio. J.P. Morgan Chief Jamie Dimon has apologized to shareholders for that $2 billion trading loss, saying it never should have happened. And as CNBC's Mary Thompson reports, shareholders were quick to forgive.
Shareholders did overwhelmingly approve Dimon's $23 million pay package last year, as well as the $15.5 million pay package given to Ina Drew, the now-retired chief investment officer who oversaw the trading losses.
The trading loss by J.P. Morgan Chase tops the agenda today as a House panel debates how best to regulate big banks. Hot and dry conditions creating a high wildfire risk in parts of the West. A smoky blaze near Phoenix is keeping Arizona crews busy, along with a northern fire that has forced residents from homes in the historic mining town of Crown King. And there may be no cure for Alzheimer's disease, but a little red wine could help, according to researchers who say a compound found in red wine, resveratrol, may alter or delay the changes in the brain that lead to dementia. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get a brake done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle is being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
A few glimmers of light in a housing market that's been in the dark for years. Yesterday, we told you an index measuring optimism in the home building industry had reached its highest level in 5 years as employment gains and record low mortgage rates encourage new projects. An hour ahead of this morning's Wall Street opening bell, the government releases its measure of new home construction for April. Analysts predict an increase in housing starts from March's five-month low. Complete U.S. energy independence is within reach, perhaps within a decade. That bold prediction is being made by a growing number of energy analysts, one telling USA Today North America is the new Middle East. Recent U.S. oil and natural gas discoveries have made the U.S. the world's fastest growing fossil fuel producer. That's combining with aggressive energy efficiency rules, which are knocking down our consumption. Bad day for stocks in Asia and Europe. Markets down 1% or more. S&P, NASDAQ, Dow futures all right around flat. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. It never ceases to amaze me what small business owners are able to accomplish each day. Virtually on their own, they provide the goods, the services, the special things that we as consumers look forward to. I often wonder, how do they do it? Well, for a lot of them, they go to the UPS store. They get the help they need, and they get more done. What do? When they have a big meeting or presentation? Well, they rely on professional printing services from the UPS store. What about when they have to be across town? That they're expecting a package. They get a mailbox at the UPS store and let the professional staff sign for their packages and keep them secure until they can pick them up. And when small business owners have to ship something, no matter how fragile, awkwardly sized or shaped, they can rely on the packing and shipping experts at the UPS store. So really, the question isn't how do they do it, it's where. And now you know.
We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Lincoln Financial presents the Chief Life Officer Business Update. The Debbie Carter Corporation has launched a new project management initiative.
I am hosting a potluck and need to remind Alice to bring summer sausage and Karen to make her German chocolate cake.
Chocolate. This Chief Life Officer Business Update brought to you by Lincoln Financial, where your life is big business. Take charge at LincolnFinancial.com/CLO. Products and financial services provided by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and New York. Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Well, change does begin with First Shift, and it will today indeed, as we have an amazing hour of radio. Let me just again do it backwards, as I like to do. At 7:50, Occupy Detroit will join us. At 7:30, Courtney Foley with United Food and Commercial Workers will be with us to talk about the Protect Our Jobs campaign, and they've got an event coming up this week. And she also has a personal story that I want to share with you. But we start this hour with an author of a new book. Now, I do have 10 copies of the book to give away, and I will be doing that not in this first half hour, but I will be giving them away over the course of a few days. I'll let you know when and how to connect with us so that you can get your copy of the book. So let me go ahead and set this up. Joining me now is Barry Schumer. Barry is author of a new book, fairly new book, titled In Defense of Teachers, The Truth About Education in America. Barry is, this is his second book, by the way, and perhaps at some other time we can talk about the first one. But it's not connected to this topic at all, and for the purposes of our conversation today, we'll put it off. He does work in public education, but not as a teacher. He is a counselor. And he, therefore, has a unique and interesting perspective. I will tell you that after reading this book in defense of teachers, what I learned, and I did learn a lot, was that as much as I thought I knew, I really didn't know a damn thing. Barry Schumer, welcome to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Thank you for writing this book. I got to tell you, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things.
I appreciate the positive comments.
I want to make this clear, because you actually write about this in the book. You consider yourself politically to be more conservative?
Fiscally conservative, correct.
Right. Yet you certainly are defending teachers and their unions. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right. How, because there are people are going to ask, how can you be, how can one part of your brain be conservative and the other part of your brain be liberal, because it actually, that's that liberal part that eats up resources that the conservative part says you want to save.
Right. Well, I'm certainly a little unusual in my political stance, but obviously some of it has to do with my background as a social worker. I've been in the public schools for 21 years, so I consider myself fiscally conservative but socially liberal. I was a Democrat most of my life and voted Democratic, and again, the book, the emotions I put into the book and the defending teachers is because in working with teachers for 21 years, I have just seen some amazing people. And the efforts they give is inspiring, what they do for children. And the attempt of the media to disparage and demonize teachers in public education, upsets me a great deal.
And you really start the book with that. In fact, you grade, there are seven different categories, and we'll talk about those as we move on with the interview here. But at the bottom of your list, and we want to make it clear it's the bottom of the list, is the media. They are the bottom feeders. You have really nothing nice to say about the media with regard to the relationship with teachers and public education. Now, I don't consider myself a member of the media. I'm an activist with a microphone, and I say that all the time. I'm not a journalist, and I don't pretend to be one, so that's all well and good. So you and I are good, is what I'm saying.
Sure,
I don't think you're picking on me. And you know that I advocate for public education.
Absolutely.
And I'm a huge advocate for public school teachers and in the work that they do, as I'm a failed public school teacher myself at some level. But the question needs to be asked, because the media does get it wrong. And how does this happen, Barry? Is it bad information? Do public school teachers need a better PR firm? Why does the media get it so wrong?
Well, there's no question that teacher unions need to put more money and effort into media messaging for the public. The education reform movement has put a lot of time and money into controlling the TV and other media sources. Programs such as Education Nation that has been on the last couple of years, heavy pro-charter school, anti-teacher union messages. The movie, Waiting for Superman, when I saw that movie 2 years ago, that is when I started writing the book. I felt it was a very negative portrayal, very inaccurate. Were there some things brought up in that movie that were accurate about problems with public education? Yes. But it was a very slanted negative picture toward charter schools saving the country, and that public schools and public school teachers are failing our children. That movie was a heavy propagandized against public education. And unless teachers and teacher unions put some money and effort to countering that message on television, there's going to be some issues. When I met you at our town hall meeting in Dearborn, which we appreciate you coming to a few weeks ago, I told you about the relationship between the Gates Foundation and Viacom Entertainment.
Yes.
I had my first example of that watching Harry's Law a couple weeks ago.
Which, by the way, I did go back because it was on demand, and I did go back and watch it. And damn it if you weren't right, Barry.
And Kathy Gates gets up in front of the judge. It was a case about a child in special education. The parents were fighting the placement and says to the judge, Your Honor, we all know that the education kids get in public schools sucks. That is a direct relationship between the Gates Foundation and Viacom Entertainment.
Yeah, and let's make that connection for people that don't understand that the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has billions of dollars, literally billions.
$30 billion.
And so they, you know, money is power. We do that follow the money thing on this show all the time. So we do that a lot. If we follow the money to Viacom, what we find out is that, you know, they, because there's, it's called product placement, right? In media, it's called product placement. And so the Gates Foundation, and in full disclosure, this program is funded by organized labor, a coalition, but organized labor. So people can make, you know, people can pick fun at me if they want to. But this is the way it has to be done sometimes, Barry, because we do need to fight that bias. Now, listen, I'll be the first one to say, and I don't want to get too stuck on this because we just have a certain amount of time today. But it's important that people understand there's a difference between telling the truth and trying to get the truth out there and manipulating the truth so that it slants in your direction. And that's what the Gates Foundation is doing with regard to education.
Absolutely. They've put billions of dollars into programs in Chicago, all over the country. Again, Tony, what this battle is about, as I say in the book, it's about political control, state versus federal government. It's really about who's going to control the $700 billion a year that is spent in public education. Now, the charter school movement, in my opinion, began with the sole purpose of destroying teacher unions. Okay, they tell the public that we need to rescue the kids and we need to rescue the families because they're getting a poor education and teachers are failing them. But what's really happened is after the voucher system failed in 2000, because of constitutional questions, the charter school movement just ramped up, and I believe their goal is to end teacher unions or severely weaken them.
Now, this huge push for privatization, especially within education, and I'm going to come back to that as we have time. You tell a story about Katie Couric does a thing on 60 Minutes. Briefly share that story with my audience.
That was a charter school effort in New York, And what happened is they put out publicity, advertising, looking for teachers throughout the country. Now, they offered their teachers $125,000 a year, which obviously is a tremendous salary. There was a teacher in Arizona that interviewed and got the job, moved to New York. As the story progresses, it shows that two of the teachers were one was let go, the one resigned, and she basically said, I could not do the job because they expected a 70-hour work week. Now, if you look at 70 hours, it's probably like 7:30 till 8 in the evening, Monday through Friday, with 6 hours on Saturday. This woman was a single mom with two kids, said she hadn't been home for dinner in months with her children.
Right.
So the concept is that if we outwork the public schools, put more hours. Now, there's no question. Could we put more hours in public education? Yes. There's been debates about extending the school day and lengthening the school year from 185 days to 200. But this concept, and that story with Katie Kirk, it ended up that the testing results came in, and they were not very good. They were not as good as the local public schools around them. And that was the, you know, ultimate result of that story.
Well, you know, we keep in public education, and David Hecker, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, is a regular on this show. And you said it as well. Are you talking about Waiting for Superman, where we say, are there problems in public education? Yes, there are. Okay. So how are we addressing them, or are we addressing them? And if we're not addressing them, what can we do to turn that around? Because it seems to me that it's not about, and here in Michigan, we're having the dialogue right now, charter schools, cyber schools, and we can go on. What is it that we need to address? Because you also talk about tenure, which is something I want to get to after the break. But what can we do to correct some of this stuff, Barry?
Well, the public schools are correcting the problems over the last 10 years. Look, we're getting the message from the media, from parents, from communities. We are having a more specific kind of effort toward teacher evaluations. They're more frequent. They're more detailed. Obviously, testing has been a big issue that has been developed. If you look at the cut lines, which is a whole other story, again, they're manipulated based on political agendas, but we are also taking a look at when a teacher does not perform up to where they should be professionally. They're given a chance to correct that problem, and they have to be let go sooner than they have been in the past. The movie Waiting for Superman, we look rather foolish, public educators, with these teachers sitting in a rubber room for up to 3 years while their case is being heard in court before they're let go at the expense of $100 million over 3 years. That is no longer happening. I've talked to my superintendent in Dearborn, Brian Whiston. There's an interview in the book about that. And he says clearly that has to happen, where teachers are removed quicker.
We have to take a break. Barry Schumer, my guest, he is author of the book In Defense of Teachers. When we come back, we'll let you know where you can get your copy besides winning one on the show. They're also for sale. We'll let you know all about that. But let's take the break here. We'll come back and continue this discussion right after this. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano, when you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
United States of America, Barack Obama.
Do you know Mitt Romney?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching a new accident that's causing problems over on 696 eastbound just before Telegraph. Your right two lanes are blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from the Lodge Telegraph exit. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71, and it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans, it does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. We don't have a lot of time left. We have some phone calls to get to, and I have a lot more questions than I'll be able to get answers to. So, Barry, before we go any further, we're going to have you back in soon, number one. Number two, where can we buy the book In Defense of Teachers?
Well, the book's available, Tony, on Amazon.com at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's the best way. People
that's
just
the best
go
way
there.
To get it, right.
Very good. And we'll do that. Let's go to the phones because I want to make sure we try to get as much in as we can. Before we have to let you go at the bottom of the hour, 888-552-3595. My good friend Bruce is on the other end of the line. Bruce, what's on your mind today?
Well, I saw a report on 60 Minutes a while back about the Khan Academy, and it's not cyber schools, but it's, I'm sure he's aware of what I'm talking about, your guest. I think his name is Barry.
Yes.
So I wanted to get his comments on the Khan Academy and using those teaching tools in the classroom, because that's what they show.
Well, first of all, let's make sure, are you familiar with the Khan Academy, Barry?
I'm not specifically.
All right, so Bruce, if you could give us a specific example.
Sure. Basically, it's online lessons, and they're meant to be on a whole range of topics. There's thousands. They're all videos, and they're very kind of basic videos, but it's meant to be used in the classroom with teacher participation, and apparently they've had great success with it. So maybe if you're not familiar with it, you can find out and get back to us the next time you're on the show.
I will absolutely do that. I appreciate it. Let me just say, if I could, Tony, that I want the listeners to understand that there are some tremendous charter schools in our country. I am not opposed to them in the sense of the efforts by teachers and administrators. There are also some charters that are not doing so well, very similar to public education. Right now in the United States, there's over 100,000 public schools. There's about 5,000 or 6,000 charter schools. But the issue is, and just as an example, during the break I told Tony, the Detroit schools is a perfect example where charters could have had a tremendous effect. We have about 2,000 schools that President Obama refers to as dropout factories, below a 50% graduation rate. Well, when the top four charter schools, including KIPP, which is one of the most well-known and successful charter school systems, were approached by the Detroit schools, the top four charter schools turned down Detroit to come into Detroit to take over about 20 to 30 of their schools. Why did they do that? There was question about profit margins, if they could make enough money. And obviously the real big issue is they did not want an emergency manager affecting their decisions with their students.
Right, and as you and I were talking during the break, and I want to make sure that, and we're going to get to the next call in just a second, but I want to make sure we clarify this. Charter schools are not private schools. They are public schools. They are funded by public tax dollars, just as public schools are. They have a different burden, and a lighter burden than the public schools do, but they are public schools, Barry.
Absolutely. Again, that one of the big differences, they get the same tax revenue per student the public schools do. Public schools, however, were formed, and we, to this day, have to accept all students. Charter schools do not have to accept all students.
No, they can pick and choose. All right, let's go back to the phone again, 888-552-3595. Barbara in Wayne joins us now. Barbara, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. I thank you so much for having him on and for his book. I'm certainly going to want a copy of that. But this past Sunday on 60 Minutes, the 13th, they did a expose on a guy out of Turkey. He's an imam, and he has a number of charter schools that are being run across this country. And I was wondering if he was familiar with those. And, you know, I just hadn't heard about it till this past Sunday. But they're all over this country.
All right, Barbara, thank you for the call. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, Barbara, yeah, I actually happened to see that this weekend at 60 Minutes. I was not familiar with that specific charter, but it was based down in Texas, and obviously they made it clear that they're keeping separation of church and state and keeping religion out of it. But this is what's happening. You've got business people looking at tremendous financial opportunities in the charter school system, and people coming from all over the world to start up systems.
But that is the point. Whether it's an Iman doing this or it's, you know, Bob Smith, a local entrepreneur, the people are getting into education because it's become quite profitable.
You can make a fortune at a charter school system. And even though I've been opposed to it, I've joked with friends that, you know, what am I doing here? I should go open a charter. Clearly that's against my, strong belief in the public school education, but we've joked about it.
You know, let's talk, and again, I wish we had more time today, and we just don't, but let's talk for a moment. You have a survey in the back of the book, towards the back of the book, where you ask teachers, did you get into education? Did you do the right thing by getting into education? And most of them said yes, absolutely glad that I did it. A couple of them said, you know, what am I thinking? One person says, I got a master's degree in biology. I could go work for a research firm and make twice the money, so probably not. But again, the vast majority of them said, I'm doing what I was born to do. Wow, imagine being in a job, Barry, where you feel like you were literally destined to do what you're doing to be treated with this kind of disrespect.
It's terrible to see what's happened to teachers. They deserve much more respect. We were talking before the show. Teaching is one of the hardest jobs you can imagine. I'm not sure I could do it. Again, I'm a social worker. I counsel children with problems. If I could just take a minute to read one of the teacher passages, it might be a good way to end this segment. One of our teachers said, when asked, do you regret going into teaching? Although much of what I have answered here sounds bitter and angry, I do not regret going to the teaching profession. I do not think I would feel that way if I was just starting my career, though. When I started teaching, I made just over $7,000 a year, and I'm now happily at the top of the pay scale. But I did not join the Red Pen Brigade because of money. I became a teacher because it is a noble profession and one that will always be held in high regard by those among us who strive for quality of character and improvement of mental acuity. Unfortunately, our society is bent on destroying public education. By not consulting the experts, public school teachers, our country is grasping at one fix after another, which only bandages problems. We will end up with a class society that sends its uppers to private schools, its averages to charter schools, and its lowers, handicapped and criminals, to public school. Teacher pay will be slashed to the bones. Now you tell me, what college student will go into education? No longer will the brightest and the best be teaching in any of our schools.
Yeah, and you know, I set this up last hour going into this hour, Barry, because you were in the studio with me at the time, you know, asking that question, you know, will our best and brightest want to go in education? I have to imagine, and we have some of the best universities in the country to educate teachers, to groom teachers, to certify teachers. We truly do. But I have a feeling that we're creating great teachers and then sending them to other states. And I have positive proof facts to back that up. I'm concerned, Barry. I'm concerned about the future. So before we let you go today, do we just need to, I mean, and what I really heard in there, because it resonates with me, is we still don't ask teachers, how do we fix this? We ask everybody but the people that it affects. Do you think that's really where the answer lies?
I think teachers are very important. We have too many politicians implementing regulations in education, both on a state and a federal level. Some people that really don't understand education. I've also said to teachers that we need to get more teachers in Lansing as senators and representatives as far as making the decisions about financial distribution in communities with schools.
All right. Well, again, much more to do. We're going to be giving the book away. But for those of you that want it quicker than we're going to give them away, go to Amazon.com. We've posted it to the Facebook page, by the way. Again, the book is In Defense of Teachers, The Truth About Education in America. Barry Schumer, thank you so much, and we'll have you back soon.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break here. Courtney Foley with the UFCW on the other side with the Protect Our Jobs crusade, which you need to know about. We got some stuff coming up this weekend. Stay with us. Much more to get to this hour.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching a new accident that's causing problems over on 696 eastbound just before Telegraph. Your right two lanes are blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from the Lodge Telegraph exit. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71, and it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. U.S. bankruptcy judge Robert Drain has denied Hostess Brands' motion to reject all Teamsters' labor contracts at the company. The Teamsters have said all along that they want to help save Hostess, but would vigorously oppose the company throwing out the contracts and imposing working conditions on Teamster workers. Teamsters Secretary Treasurer Ken Hall says it's a rare day when a bankruptcy judge denies a company request to destroy union contracts. Hall attributes that decision to the resolve of Teamster members. The Teamsters say they remain committed to finding solutions to labor agreements that will help Hostess survive bankruptcy. New labor rules that would have made union representation elections more fair for workers have been blocked by a federal judge. U.S. District Judge James Boasberg ruled that the National Labor Relations Board technically did not have a quorum when the board adopted the new rules last year. The Republican representative on the NLRB blocked a quorum by taking no action on the rules. Had he voted against or even abstained, a legal quorum would have existed. The court said its ruling was on a procedural technicality and not the substance of the new rules. The challenge to the rules was brought by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. An Occupy G8 People's Summit will be held by the Occupy Movement in Frederick, Maryland, May 18th, as the G8 Economic Summit unfolds at Camp David. The Occupy G8 People's Summit will provide a vision for sustainable democratic economic development. Speakers will lead discussions on the impact of concentrated wealth on global public policy, the effects of wealth inequality on people's well-being, and alternative structures that would close the wealth divide and create a more democratic, sustainable economy. Seniors are having a difficult time finding employment, according to a new report released by the Government Accountability Office. Jesse Russell reports.
The report finds that 55% of jobless seniors have been unemployed for more than 6 months. That's a significant increase of 23% since 2007. During a congressional hearing on Tuesday, Senator Herb Kohl of Wisconsin said lawmakers need to find new ways to address the issue of age discrimination. Losing a job and having difficulty of finding new work before hitting the age of 62 sees a significant decrease in retirement income. According to the GAO, those who are forced to retire at the age of 55, on average, receive 39% less than those who retire just 7 years later.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and by OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. I want to thank Barry Schumer once again. Excellent book. I'll be giving them away starting a little later on today. In Defense of Teachers is the name of it. Anyway, we do need to move on just because we have so much going on in this hour. And joining me now is my union sister from the United Food and Commercial Workers, which, of course, is my union. It's President Roger Robinson, a leading voice and advocate for all things social justice. And this is a guy that gets it. There's no question that's true. Many of you know, because you listen to the program a lot, that we're in the middle of a campaign called Protect Our Jobs, POJ, as you often hear it referred. And this is about a constitutional ballot initiative that will basically protect democracy in the workplace. That's what it does. Well, we're here to tell you there's something going on this weekend that you need to know about. Courtney is a consummate activist and has got a couple different messages we want to share with you today. So let me welcome Courtney Foley to First Shift this morning, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Courtney.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show today.
My pleasure. You know, I want to give people a little bit of a background on who you are and why you're involved in this. And you actually aren't a native of Michigan, are you?
No, I am originally from Mississippi.
And you've been involved in lots of different political campaigns. In fact, one that this audience will be familiar with happens to be in our neighboring state of Ohio. Tell us about your experience there.
Well, I was in Ohio for quite some time last year. I actually was there back when the fight started, when you had different legislators trying to take away collective bargaining rights for public sector workers. You had Governor Kasich coming after workers as a whole, not doing anything like Governor Snyder as far as, you know, doing legislation piecemeal, pass one bill, pass another one. No, Governor Kasich wanted to come after workers in one big piece. So they had this bill, which a lot of you might have heard of, which was Senate Bill 5, which eliminated the collective bargaining rights for all public sector workers. So there were rallies all around the state. People were upset, but the legislators didn't listen. They passed the legislation anyway. Governor Kasich signed it, and we immediately turned into campaign mode and started organizing a referendum against Senate Bill 5. And we definitely had historic display of democracy because people were just so upset. I mean, their legislators didn't listen to them at all. Obviously, the people had spoken, so we started collecting signatures. And Ohio is a little different from Michigan. There's a geographic requirement for signatures. But we actually ended up collecting signatures in all 88 counties of Ohio, and we had 1.3 million signatures when we turned them in. So that just shows you how upset people were about what happened with that petition drive. And, one thing I was telling you about earlier, when it was actually time to deliver our petition to the Secretary of State, we came over, we had a semi full of petitions, and we started unloading them. And obviously the Secretary of State was surprised by how many petitions we had. And at one point, they actually made us stop unloading the petitions because they were worried we were going to break the floor and that it would collapse. So they had to have the engineer of the building come in and check the weight. And he finally agreed that it should be all right.
Yeah, that blew my mind when you told me that, Courtney. No, that blew my mind. That's an amazing story.
Well, and it just goes to show you, I mean, when the people have spoken and you just choose to ignore them completely, they're not going to go away. And that campaign continued, and we ended up repealing Senate Bill 5 by 62% of the electorate. So that really shows you that, you know, you can't just come into a state and start passing legislation and not listen to your constituents and think they're just going to sit back and let their rights be taken away.
Go ahead, Courtney.
And that was something that we saw in Ohio. And, you know, once people saw that legislators weren't going to listen, they started to mobilize. And that's why this is so important, what we're doing in Michigan, because we're seeing the exact same thing.
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, the point that I wanted to make that, you know, that 1.3 million signatures, the 63% people that vote in favor of protecting workers' rights in Ohio, those aren't all Democrats. Those aren't all union families. That is as bipartisan an effort as you're ever going to get, Courtney.
Oh, it definitely was. I mean, you had people all over the board, because who doesn't know a teacher, a firefighter, a nurse, you know, someone who is going to be affected by having their rights taken away? I mean, and this is something that, they organized the right for 28 years ago. So we literally would be going back in time. And that's what we see Governor Snyder trying to do here in Michigan. And that's why you see people organizing around Protect Our Jobs, this amendment to the Constitution, because, you know, they don't want to see CEOs firing workers and outsourcing jobs to Mexico. I mean, they want to see homegrown jobs here in Michigan so that people can be prosperous and go forward. And so, I mean, we're seeing the same thing as we saw in Ohio here. People are speaking up, and, you know, they're not just going to sit back as all these different anti-labor bills get passed in the legislature.
Oh, you know, I was on a call a couple days ago, or yesterday, in fact, and I'm happy to say that signature gathering is going well. But there's an event this weekend that you wanted to share with my audience, and so I want everybody to tap, everybody pay attention. Courtney's talking, please.
So we're doing a big canvassing blitz this weekend. It's going to be Saturday. It's going to be going on from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have locations all over the state. So in Detroit, we're going to be at the Federation of Teachers, which is 2875 West Grand Boulevard in Detroit. In Flint, we're going to be at 1940 West Atherton in Flint. In Lansing, we're going to be 5405 South Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters local. In Mount Clemens, we're doing something really interesting. Our UFCW, along with our brothers and sisters at CWA, are organizing a drive-through. This is something we also did in Ohio. It's where you don't even have to get out of your car. You just drive up, sign the petition, and you go on through. So we're doing that at a CWA local 4008, which is 145 Colonial Court in Mount Clemens. We're also doing an event in Western Wayne on Telegraph Road, 9650 Telegraph Road in Taylor. And then in Saginaw, we're also doing an event at a UAW local 467, which is 2104 Farmers Street. But really, if you're interested at all in any of these events, and I know I went over a lot there, you can always call our union sister, Debbie Buckland, at 810-599-2128 to be a part of this blitz. And it's really great. You know, we're going to get a chance to, go door to door, talk to people about signing the petition. And especially if you're listening and you haven't signed a petition yet, you know, definitely come to our drive-through if you're near Mount Clemens, because it's a great way to, you know, get your signature done. But you don't even have to get out of your car, and it's just really convenient. I mean, and for everyone that's listening, I mean, it really is important to sign this petition, because, you know, we at the very least want to get this on the ballot so that the voters can decide and not politicians in Lansing. Because, you know, going back to what we're talking about at Ohio, if you don't stand up and do something, you're just going to continue to see these bad anti-union bills passed, and nothing's going to change. So that's why we have to sort of stand up for ourselves and really raise awareness. Because if you look at what Governor Scott Walker is doing and Governor Snyder, I mean, anything they can to help the 1% is something that is just continuing on.
Well, and unfortunately, Courtney, we can see it. We can see it every day in the legislation that's proposed. We can see it every day in the laws that we'll keep it local. The laws that Governor Snyder is signing, including the cyber school law yesterday, which again further hurts public school teachers and the unions that support them. And I could go on and on and on. Courtney, the important thing is people understand that they need to get out, they need to sign these petitions. Also, if they can volunteer sometime on Saturday, and I'll give the phone number out again in just a moment for Debbie Buckland, then they should show up and sign, and then volunteer some time, do that. And again, there are a multitude of events, the door-to-door canvassing, the drive-through event, which is going to be in Mount Clemens. You can do in a public location, and it's you'll get training on how to do all this stuff. And not that it's that hard, because it's not. But again, Debbie Buckland, if you want to get more information or would like to volunteer some time, Debbie Buckland can be reached at 810-599-2128. That's 510-599-2128, and you need to get involved. And Courtney, as you saw when you were in Ohio, and part of the reason why you're here now is you know how to get this thing done. When people fully understand an issue, like how important this constitutional amendment is, you get very little backlash. People understand that we just need to protect our rights in the workplace.
Well, and it just goes back to that core element. Like, who doesn't know their teacher? Who doesn't know their nurse? Who doesn't know their firefighter? And they know that they're working hard every day, you know, trying to serve the public. And this goes even farther than that. I mean, this isn't, here in Michigan, this isn't just about public sector workers. This is about private sector workers, too. So it doesn't matter where you come from. If you're someone who is working in Michigan and trying to make it, this is something that will affect you, and it's important to protect yourself. Because, I mean, we're going to be the ones working in this state, and we're going to see legislators continue to try to attack our rights. And if we don't get involved and stand up, we're not going to see a difference. And I think, you know, going back to Ohio, I think that display of democracy really shows the impact when the word gets out of what this really is about.
Absolutely. Courtney, we're just out of time for today, but I want to thank you. I'll make sure that I get this information out every single day until the weekend. And in the meantime, Courtney Foley, thank you for being with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Tony. Have a good one.
You bet. Well, quick break here. Ryan Bates coming to us for Occupy Detroit on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill an immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate impact, that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we've passed the bill where we've had immediate effect vote. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that center, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow down just a hair.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And here we go. It is that time. I'm happy to land this morning Ryan Bates, who is the director of the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform of Michigan. And Ryan, you know, ironically, when I texted you last week to call me, this is what I was texting you about. So it all worked out in the end, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tony. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad we got to check in.
Yeah, no question. Now, you know, let's talk about a gentleman. Is it Gustavo? Is that the way to say that?
Yeah, Gustavo Vargas.
Gustavo Vargas. He's got a story that people need to hear, and then we need this audience to step up for him today.
Yeah, and it's one of these sad stories of someone who's, you know, caught up in the system, and the real victims are going to be his children. Gustavo, he's a small business owner. He employs three people in Detroit doing construction work and installing floors. He owns his own house. He pays his taxes. He's trying to do the right thing. He's lived in the U.S. for 24 years and has four just beautiful, gorgeous U.S. citizen children. But Gustavo is undocumented. And he was picked up at a traffic stop in Pontiac a couple weeks ago. And despite all these ties to the community, despite the impact his deportation will have on his kids, and he's due to be deported any day now. So, you know, the community's really rallied around Gustavo. A lot of local business owners who worked with him, his church, have really stepped up. And have been really active trying to get the government to, you know, listen to reason, and you know, keep this family together. We all have to play it by the rules, but, you know, in this case, the punishment definitely doesn't fit the crime. Being, you know, torn from your community, torn from your children, for, you know, not being able to obtain a visa and coming to the country to work, just isn't a fair way to treat somebody. You know, there should be an opportunity for him to, you know, pay a fine, pay a penalty, find a way to get back into the system, but certainly not tear his family apart. So what we're asking folks to do is to log on to the internet and send a message to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, asking them to grant some discretion on behalf of the family. And you can do that at bit.ly/ Gustavo Vargas. You can do that all right there.
Well, you know, it seems to me, you know, Ryan, as we look at the stories like Gustavo's, and very simply, you laid it out beautifully, I want to point something out. You said that he has been a tax-paying, responsible member of society, this society, for 24 years, right? Not 24 months, not 24 days, 24 years.
Absolutely. What happens is, you know, the American dream still exists. It's alive and well. And people all over the world still believe in it with their heart and soul. And folks like Gustavo are willing to do almost anything to come to America, raise their families, contribute to their communities, and achieve that American dream. And he's been doing that for more than two decades now. And it's a major problem in our legal system that there's no way for someone like Gustavo to, you know, get in line for a visa and get his papers fixed. So again, you know, we're encouraging folks to go to bit.ly/GustavoVargas and sign on, send a message to the government that, you know, this, we need reform. But we also need this family to stay together.
You know, let's talk about reform for a moment. If there was one piece of legislation, Ryan, you could wave a magic wand and you could create a piece of legislation that would stop idiocy like this, and this is pure idiocy, what would that legislation look like?
Well, we need a complete overhaul of our immigration system. I'm sorry to give you a complicated answer for what seems like a simple question.
But the question may be simple. That doesn't mean the answer has to be, Ryan.
That's true, Tony. There are 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the United States. And we need to figure out a way for those folks to get into this system. Clearly the system we have now isn't working. So what we think should happen is those 11 million folks should be required, and I stress required, to register with the government, pay a fine and any taxes they own, start learning English if they don't know it already, and pass a background check. You know, we don't want any criminals or drug dealers in our neighborhoods. In exchange, those folks should get some sort of visa or residency and then be able to, you know, get on the path to start earning their citizenship. And that's the only fair way to address this. We're not going to deport 11 million people. It's impossible. And it would be a moral tragedy if we tried. Now, the other thing we got to do is recognize the reason why these folks are here in the first place. It's that the immigration system itself is broken. Clearly, there's work for folks to do. And there's not a way for them to get into the country to do it legally. So had there been a line back in Mexico for folks like Gustavo to get into it, he would have gotten into that line. So we need some sort of system so folks can more easily enter the country with legal documentation to work. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to have this problem for years to come.
Well, you know, I keep going back to, you know, this, and the reason that I like to focus on this, on these immigration issues is because I can't think literally within the sound of our voice, there isn't 99.8% of the people that aren't here as a result of some kind of immigration status in their past, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. Folks, the American idea, the American dream, the American, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, is about taking what is there and making it good and better and whole and wonderful and loving and compassionate, and to turn our backs on people like this family because they don't neatly fit into a category is sinful. It's sinful at any level. Ryan Bates, as always, it's great to visit with you. We will do this again soon. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for focusing on this issue, Tony. Yes, good morning.
Absolutely. Ryan Bates again. Let's take a quick break. Steven Henderson with the Detroit Free Press when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we got a problem over on 75 southbound near the 375 exit, where you got a jackknife semi that's blocking the right lane of the 75 southbound ramp, and that's causing stop and go traffic from Mack Avenue, and you got traffic getting by in the left lane only. heading over to 275 northbound at 9 Mile Road. The accident has the right center lane block, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from 7 Mile. That's your Eye on Traffic. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71, and it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesias. The battle of the budget, back for an encore. Republicans in the House are refusing to raise the nation's debt ceiling without significant spending cuts. House Speaker John Boehner.
I will again insist on my simple principle of cuts and reforms greater than the debt limit increase. Now, this is the only avenue I see right now to force the elected leadership of this country to solve our structural fiscal imbalance.
Meantime, the White House is threatening to veto a Republican-written renewal of the Violence Against Women Act, saying it does not go far enough to protect gays, Native Americans, or undocumented immigrants. More Americans are pumped up for the Memorial Day holiday as gas prices continue to fall. AAA says nearly 31 million will take to the highways this year. Pump prices have dropped 18 cents the past month. And a new study says getting a college education not only improves your career chances, it can lead to a longer life. CDC says college grads are more attuned to their health and well-being. This is NBC News Radio. John Edwards may take the stand as early as today at his campaign finance trial. The former presidential candidate charged with using donations to hide his pregnant mistress during the 2008 campaign. It's a big week for Facebook, the social networking giant, set to offer stock for the first time, and it's upping the ante, as CNBC's Jackie DeAngelis reports.
Facebook is increasing the size of its IPO by 25%, the hike valuing the deal at around $18.5 billion, combined with a higher price target, of course, the range now $34 to $38 a share.
That IPO expected Friday. Binge drinking reaching crisis levels in Britain, according to public health officials, who say it's costing the cash-strapped nation nearly $5 billion a year in long-term health problems. And it gives new meaning to the term carpooling. A family in La Puente, California, woke up to find a 2006 silver Lexus on the bottom of their swimming pool. The drivers swam away. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Iglesias, NBC News Radio.
Protect your wheels and tires from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Extreme Wheel and Tire Cleaner or Armor All Extreme Tire Shine. On sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts for $3.99 each. Clean, shine, and protect your wheels and tires with Armor All Extreme Tire Shine or Extreme Tire and Wheel Cleaner at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk. That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Energy independence by 2020. We are on pace for that very thing, according to a growing number of analysts. They tell USA Today our newly aggressive domestic petrol production is combining with newly aggressive energy efficiency rules to make it happen. A couple of big retailers posting their earnings this morning. One has good news, the other not so much. Target reports a return to form with stronger than expected profit and sales for the just completed quarter. Staples missed expectations for earnings and sales. Don't blame the USA. The company says sales were shockingly weak in Europe and Australia. Greece has announced a national revote for June 17th following its failure to form a new government from its last election. At stake is Greece's effort to get out of its massive debt load and whether it will remain a member of the Eurozone. All the uncertainty is slamming European stock markets down 1% or worse. So we're doing much better stateside. S&P futures up 4 points. NASDAQ futures gaining 8. Dow futures up 32. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. It never ceases to amaze me what small business owners are able to accomplish each day. Virtually on their own, they provide the goods, the services, the special things that we as consumers look forward to. I often wonder, how do they do it? Well, for a lot of them, they go to the UPS store. They get the help they need, and they get more done. What do? When they have a big meeting or presentation? Well, they rely on professional printing services from the UPS store. What about when they have to be across town? They're expecting a package. They get a mailbox at the UPS store and let the professional staff sign for their packages and keep them secure until they can pick them up. And when small business owners have to ship something, no matter how fragile, awkwardly sized or shaped, they can rely on the packing and shipping experts at the UPS store. So really the question isn't how do they do it, it's where. And now you know.
We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Lincoln Financial presents the Chief Life Officer Business Update. The Debbie Carter Corporation has launched a new project management initiative.
I'm hosting a potluck and need to remind Alice to bring summer sausage and Karen to make her German chocolate cake.
Chocolate. This Chief Life Officer Business Update brought to you by Lincoln Financial, where your life is big business. Take charge at LincolnFinancial.com/CLO. Products and financial services provided by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and in New York, Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
how can I help you?
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
that's not in our policy, sir.
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
your business is extremely important to us.
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank, no nonsense.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with Progress. First, they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And I appreciate y'all being here this morning. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 16th day of May 2012. While yesterday, about this time, I said, hey, today is filing deadline day, 4 p.m. this afternoon. Oh, what an interesting afternoon it was. We're going to get to that in just a couple short moments. But a little later on in this hour, to remind you, Lori Lamoran with Planned Parenthood will be with us for our weekly chat. But before we get to that, oh my, what an interesting day yesterday was. A lot to get to with Stephen Henderson. So let's get our introduction out of the way and get this thing going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
None of this is going to be able to be fixed without cash, which is something we don't have right now in Detroit and don't have that much in the state. But there are some big ticket things that need to be done that can't be done for free.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
That's where you get into the idea that this is going to cost, and not just Detroiters, this is going to cost people all over the state of Michigan to try to dig Detroit fully out of this hole.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now, indeed, is Mr. Stephen Henderson. Stephen, a pleasure to have you back with us this Wednesday morning. Do we have him? There we go. Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Well, okay is good because although we don't live on the west side of the state, the wave of what State Rep. Roy Schmidt did yesterday, Stephen Henderson, is being felt throughout every corner because, depending on where, how you want to read this, and what I'm referencing, of course, to the audience that isn't aware of this, he is a Democrat that decided at the very last second yesterday to turn his party allegiance to the Republican Party in order to basically give himself a shot at maintaining the seat that he currently holds. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, the outcry this morning is quite fierce, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody, I don't think anyone saw this coming. I, at least I certainly didn't.
Including his chief of staff didn't see it coming.
That's right. This guy just pulled this out of a hat. I'm not generally a big fan of people who do this, who are elected as one thing and then decide they're going to be in another party. I think it's a real bait and switch with voters, but at least you got to give him credit. He's saying, you know, I'm switching now. And I'll run, you know, I'll run as the new, under the new label for the seat in November so that voters get a chance to say, well, you know, I either trust you or I don't. And I think there's a risk here that, just because now he might be more politically aligned with the district, it doesn't necessarily mean that voters will see this as a genuine expression of his political beliefs, and they might boot him out because they think he's a snake. I'm not sure that the calculus will work the way he thought it would. But it certainly does have an impact on the Democrats' hopes to take back the House. I mean, it digs the hole deeper, right?
Well, sure it does, by at least one seat. But, Stephen, and I'm trying to confirm this, and I haven't been able to quite confirm it yet, but it's my understanding that because of the way he did this and when he did it, that he will not have an opponent from the Democratic side or the Republican side. There was no Republican running against him, so there's no primary. Right. And there was no Democrat that could step up to run against him, so he won't have an opponent.
So
he basically guaranteed himself this seat.
Yeah, nah, you know, I didn't even think of that. That's that's not good either. This kind of thing just stinks. I mean, I understand how hard it must be to be a Democrat in the House right now in the minority, and even harder to be a Democrat from Grand Rapids, which is a pretty conservative place. Although I would say this place is changing more than some people want to admit, especially the city of Grand Rapids. But this is not what you elect people thinking that they're gonna do, that they're gonna abandon the party that they ran under and then go with the other side. And I don't know this member of the legislature personally, so I can't tell you much about what's going through his head. But if I'm a voter in that district, I think I feel like there's a little bit of a knife in my back this morning.
Yeah, there's no question, and certainly reaction from around the state. Republicans, of course, are saying, well, of course he came over to the Republican Party. We're the better party. He understands that we represent the issues that matter most to the people of Michigan. Democrats from Minority Leader in the House, Richard Hamel, to Democratic Party Chair Mark Brewer, well, of course, they are confined to certain words, and let's just put it this way. If they weren't confined, I wouldn't be able to read them. They're upset. I mean, Stephen, they're mad.
Yeah, well, and you know, somebody who, again, does this the way he did it without telling anybody, without discussing it with anyone, that really does suggest a sort of political hijinks, I guess, as opposed to some deep personal philosophical change or... There are reasons for this that you could describe as more legitimate than other reasons, and this guy's not really given much reason at all. And the Democratic Party should be angry at him because, like I said, their hopes to take back the House, which they were describing, you know, they have been describing as they think pretty optimistic. Just got a little dimmer with this. I mean, I think it's going to be tougher, obviously, for them to do that. It's another seat they got to spend. They got to either count out, like you point out, because there's no chance to take it, and now you got to find someplace else to pick up a seat. So,
well, and the Republicans, I just did very briefly. I was reading as right before the show what the Republicans did in that district, Stephen, so that we are just giving people as much information as we can, is they did find somebody to run against him on the Republican side. But he was the friend of, he's just a name, he was the friend of this guy's brother. So he's just a name so that there will be a primary, so that, and he filed at the same time this guy switched parties. Everybody yeah. smells this. Let me read what Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, had to say when he was told this. It so saddens me that in a desperate, cowardly, opportunistic move at the 11th hour, Roy Schmidt abandoned his constituents and the values by which he was elected for the sole purpose of clinging to office and the perks of the job. Rather than face a tougher district, Schmidt cut a deal with the Republicans so that no one would run against him in an attempt to ensure his reelection. He should be ashamed of this desperate, craven deed. Only someone who does not possess the convictions or confidence to face the voters would pull a stunt like this. He'll fit perfectly with the Republicans. That was Mark Brewer.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that about sums it, right? I mean, it's not. There's no virtuous principle you can attach to this kind of behavior. It's not respectful of voters. It's not respectful of the chamber that you're in. And I think opportunistic is. Is the word that comes to mind. It's just somebody who wanted to stay more than he wanted to be true to the values that he was elected on. And it's, you know, it's disappointing. They'll regroup though and keep going. There's, you know, there's nothing to be done about this. You got to find another seat. You got to find another pickup somewhere. And I think the number was 9 or 13 that they thought they needed before this. So now it's one more.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't envy you, Stephen Henderson, or the editorial board of the Free Press. Very quickly, let's talk some of these congressional seats because of redistricting. You've got yeah. some really good people running against really good people. And from, you know, again, on the congressional side of things, these are, of course, folks I have on this show all the time. I'm glad I don't have to endorse. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, endorsements are never fun. Sometime between now and August, we'll go over and talk to go over questionnaires from and talk to something like 500 candidates for office and make decisions in all of the Southeast Michigan races and, of course, all the congressional races statewide. Congress is really interesting this time because of the way they drew the map. We got this very odd configuration of districts that look like a spiral galaxy coming out of the center of Oakland County, and, you know, fling as far as Ecorse downriver. It mashes people together who we think of generally as pretty good, and so you got to choose between two people who you'd rather both see stay in Washington, and that's going to happen in a couple places.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's take a quick break here, Stephen. When we come back, Stephen wrote a piece this week on the 9th, came out May 9th, on casino revenue and the results of that, and he juxtaposes it against another community that also has casino revenue. It wasn't a local community, but the remarkable difference in what's happened with those monies won't surprise you, but certainly illuminates and is worthy of a further discussion. Are we getting it wrong? Just a question. We'll answer it, or at least attempt to, on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back with the Free Press's Stephen Henderson right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We're watching two accidents that are causing problems. First one on Rochester Road at 75. The ramp to 75 southbound, that's blocked by an accident. And northbound 275 at 9 Mile Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from 6 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71. And it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Stephen Henderson, the host of America's Black Journal and the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, is my guest every Wednesday at this time. Stephen, you wrote a column on May 9th titled Detroit Has Little to Show for Its Casino Revenue, and I read it with great interest. In fact, I had printed it off to comment on it the other day and just didn't get around to it. But, wow, when you stop and you think about the millions of dollars that have been generated and you go back to the Archer administration, even the Engler administration, and, you know, you lay out what all this was going to do. And I remember that so clearly, and none of it's happened. It's more than just scratching your head, Stephen. You really have got to wonder, why do we keep getting everything so wrong?
Yeah, it's sort of an object lesson in the sort of poor management and governance that we have here, and that's not just singling out Detroit. That's, you know, the state was involved in this. We just we've not managed this well, and as a result, you know, as you point out, it's not just millions of dollars. This is hundreds of millions of dollars every year that comes into the city from casinos, which are doing quite well and paying a lot of taxes. that was supposed to be extra money that we could use on things that we wouldn't be able to afford if the casinos weren't here. Instead, it's, you know, it keeps the garbage trucks rolling on the streets or keeps the lights on. Because we've so mismanaged our finances in the city, and as I pointed out, it's not just that the city mismanaged its finances, it's that the state also tried some things, some strategies to spur growth that in fact didn't work, and cost us lots of money every year in lost taxes and revenue sharing. So the casinos are an integral part of our budgeting process here. If we didn't have them, we'd have a deficit every year that was about $177 million higher than it is now. So unlike much smaller places that have had casinos and used the money to make themselves bigger and better and economically healthier, here, you know, it's just become a regular part of our economic survival, which is just, it's a shame. It's lost opportunity.
You know, you write about this little town in Mississippi, and you say, you know, there's as a result of the casino revenue, there's an arena, an expo center, and you go on and on and on, and you say in Detroit, we haven't even named a park after someone. I mean, yeah. You know, but you're right, Stephen. We've not done these critically important things, and when we were actively involved with the debate, I clearly remember the passionate people that were out there, advocates for these three casinos and what it would mean. And of course, there's going to always be, you know, those factions that are going, well, this is about profit. Of course it's about profit, folks. Why would you do it if it's not about profit? Right. But the promises that were made to minority businesses, the millions of dollars that were going to be dedicated to promoting minorities in business, that never, not a dime, not one dime, Stephen, happened.
No, we didn't get anything that we thought we were going to get out of this, the city, other than the casinos themselves, which, you know, all three have big hotels and entertainment venues now that presumably, you know, help them make money and means we get more tax money, and we have jobs. The casinos employ, I think it's, I don't know, 8 or 9,000 people, many of them Detroiters who might not have jobs otherwise. So we did get that, but those are things that you get anywhere with casinos, and that's what, you know, I mean, that's what it means, though. You get that out of any business that size that open in the city. The idea that we were sold on, though, was that this would change Detroit. And you look at the riverfront right now, think of how different it would be if we hadn't destroyed the entertainment district that was there, in the hope that we would build this sort of casino complex and put all three of them down there, which certainly would have revitalized that area of the river. It didn't happen, though, and as a result, we've got nothing there. I mean, it's a really sort of desolate part of the central sort of core of the city, because we tore everything down in anticipation that we'd put the casinos there. We just have botched this all around. It's just not a good example of how we've leveraged private investment for public good, and that's a challenge we have in Detroit over and over and over again. That the things that that other cities are able to do with private investment and make them matter for people who live here, we just, there's a disconnect there. It's like the engineering's wrong or something. I mean, we just can't figure out how to get that done.
Well, and then we learn, of course, this week, I believe it was Monday, there was a story that came out with the Toledo and Cleveland casinos opening, that $30 million a year will disappear from state coffers and city coffers. And so we now know that to be true. Stephen, the question I guess we should ask is, can we turn this around? Can we, I mean, I'm not saying do a do-over, because you don't do a do-over, but can we think about this? Can we dialogue about this differently? Can those that own these casinos start doing it differently, or is that door closed?
Well, I mean, I think that the opportunity is actually in governance here. I mean, you've got the state now heavily involved in trying to turn finances around in Detroit. I think one of the priorities ought to be restructuring the city's budget so that the casino money is not is not keeping us from going bankrupt, so that it is extra money. Number one, that will give us money to do some of the things that we need to do around here. I mean, if you imagine what we could do with $177 million a year, that was just extra money. I mean, you could fix the lighting department. You certainly could do a lot of other things with infrastructure. I mean, that's the idea, is to get to that point. The other thing is, though, because that revenue is going to decline, and no one knows how much, but, you know, it could be as much as $30 million in the next couple of years, you want to get off it. You want to get off the reliance of it because it's declining. It'll become like the income tax and the property tax, which go down every year. And so you need to be able to wean yourself off of that revenue because it's not going to be there. And I think that can be done. I think, again, it takes some really aggressive restructuring and prioritization of the things that we do in city government here. But we almost don't have a choice because of these Toledo and Cleveland casinos. They are going to suck money away from Detroit. There's no question about that. It's the only question is how much and how soon.
You know, it's interesting, and I'll just I'll leave it with this. A couple months ago, I took my wife and my kids to Texas State Brazil in the CompuWare building, Stephen. Uh-huh. And every time, and I love that place. It's wonderful. Yes, it's gluttonous and all the other stuff, but it's a beautiful building. It is. It's just a little diamond in the rough. And every time I go there, I just say to myself, I hope it's here the next time I want to come.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that way about so many things because truly, as a Southeast Michigander, I love the downtown area. I love Detroit. I want it to thrive, and I still believe it will, and it can, and it must. And we just can't give up hope, Stephen.
No, that's right. I mean, we just got to do better. We got to be smarter and manage better.
Absolutely. We're out of time for today. We'll visit again next week. Thank you so much, as always.
Absolutely. I'll see you next week.
You bet. We'll be back with Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood right after we take this quick break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching two accidents that are causing problems. First one on Rochester Road at 75. The ramp to 75 southbound, that's blocked by an accident. And northbound 275 at 9 Mile Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing stop and go traffic from 6 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71. And it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First shift with Tony Triano.
Joining me now is Madeline Kunin.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Rather than finding ways to cooperate with the natural world, America's agribusiness giants reach for the next quick fix in a futile effort to overpower nature. Their attitude is that if brute force isn't working, they're probably not using enough of it. Monsanto, for example, has banked a fortune by selling a corn seed that it genetically manipulated to produce corn plants that won't die when sprayed with a toxic weed killer called Roundup. Not coincidentally, Monsanto also happens to be the maker of Roundup, so it has profited from the seed and from the huge jump in Roundup sales that the seed generated. Slick. But Mother Nature, damn her, has rebelled. So much of Monsanto's poison was spread in the past decade that weeds naturally developed a resistance to it. As the Dow Chemical agronomist put it, the real need here is to diversify our weed management systems. Exactly right. We need non-chemical, non-GMO, sustainable systems that work with nature. But no, the Tao man didn't mean that at all. He was calling for more brute force in the form of Tao's new genetically altered corn seed that can absorb Tao's superpotent 2,4-D weed killer. Use this, he says, and nature will be defeated. Wrong. Nature doesn't quit. The weeds will keep evolving and will adapt to Tao's high-tech fix, too. By pushing the same old thing relentlessly, says an independent crop scientist, agribusiness interests ratchet up America's dependence on the use of herbicides, which is very much a treadmill. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to start listening to the weeds and cooperating with Mother Nature. To advance this common sense approach, a national coalition is backing a California Right to Know initiative requiring GMO-altered foods to be labeled. To help, go to organicconsumers.org. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back 35 minutes after the hour. As we do every week at this time, we visit with our friends at Planned Parenthood of Mid-South Michigan. Lori Lamorand is on the other end of our line. And Lori, first of all, let me just tell you, it's a pleasure to have you back. And I'm assuming you had a beautiful Mother's Day. I know the weather was with us nonetheless.
I'm glad to be here, Tony, and I did indeed. I have three sons who did their best to make it a good day, and I was appreciative.
Well, good. Yeah, it was a beautiful, it really was a beautiful day. We had my sisters over for a barbecue, of course. My wife was there, and I have three sons as well. So all the moms in attendance did quite well. I'm also happy to say that all three of my sisters' kids happened to all be there as well. So it really worked out. As you know, as families get older, it's sometimes harder and harder and harder to get everybody together. So I was really happy we were able to do that and really had a nice afternoon.
Well, it's a good time to bring family together and remember what those connections mean and really celebrate them. So, hope everybody in the area had a great day.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, I read some interesting news last week. So let me just share that, and then I want to ask you some questions. And this is a conversation we really don't have as often as we need to, and I have a suspicion why, but we'll come back to that in just a second. Last week, folks, listen to this. Last week, there was amazing news. The Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee is recommending a drug that would prevent healthy people from contracting HIV. I'm serious. This is a big breakthrough, of course, in the fight against HIV/AIDS, and an opportunity, obviously, to talk about this, which is the point, Lori, that I wanted to make. Of course, you folks at Planned Parenthood are very active and involved in the fight and prevention of HIV/AIDS. But this news comes at a time where, and I'm saying this because as I was talking to people about this yesterday, nobody had heard this news, which I find just fantastic that the mainstream media would ignore something this big. It makes you wonder where their priorities are, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly didn't get much coverage, Tony. You're right. And we should be clear that what the Food and Drug Administration did was approve a sort of a new high-powered use for a drug that we refer to in medical world as an antiviral, which means that it has prior to now been used for people who were infected with HIV to keep their viral load down. In other words, to try to keep any sort of progression to AIDS, which is the from taking HIV to an actual diagnosis of AIDS. So this antiviral is going to be given to people who may be at high risk for contracting HIV, like men who sleep with other men or heterosexual couples with one positive partner, and they will take this drug, which is called Truvada, to try to reduce the risk of them actually contracting the virus themselves.
Well, again, it's just amazing news, and it gives us an opportunity to have a discussion. I want to, I don't think we're going to bore anybody, but I think it's important that we talk some numbers. So, Lori, if you'll just let me get some of this information on, then we'll circle back around and talk about it. But just so people understand that an estimated 1.1 million people are living with HIV/AIDS in the U.S. today. Of those, 20% don't even know they are infected and can spread it unknowingly. And that, by the way, comes from the Kaiser Family Foundation, that data. An estimated 19,000 people are living with HIV in Michigan alone, and that's according to the Michigan Department of Community Health. And the prevalence rates in Michigan are 9 times higher for black as compared to whites. And I could go on. There are almost 4 times as many black females living with HIV than white females in Michigan. Between 2002-2006, 76% of the new diagnoses among 13 to 24-year-olds were black. And, of course, this is affecting the black community, Lori, more than it is other, if you will, constituencies. The point here is you folks at Planned Parenthood have been very active, as I said, when we opened up this segment, in helping and counseling and treating people with HIV/AIDS or counseling people as to the prevention of those diseases and the progression thereof.
Yeah, I think that's right, Tony. I think a lot of people don't, you know, we get linked to birth control and certainly abortion, but I think fewer people really understand the efforts that we do to try to counteract HIV. So last year alone, our affiliate offered more than 6,700 HIV tests. And just this month, we did more than 1,000. We do them in all of our health centers, many without any sort of appointment. People can walk in and ask for that test, and we offer it on a sliding fee scale so that people with low incomes can pay much smaller fees than people who have a few or more resources. So we're certainly doing our part to ensure that people get access to the kinds of care that they would need if they found themselves to be HIV positive. And obviously the other part that we really focus on is on our educational programming. We work very hard to have people understand exactly how HIV gets contracted, how to prevent that from for themselves, and to ensure that they keep their partner safe.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and we're going to talk about prevention here in just a second, but as I was doing a little research for today's segment, Lori Lamoran, you know, people, there's still a lot of misconceptions about how you contract AIDS, but again, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and as I was going over some of the data, one of the things I shared with them is that HIV is not transmitted through urine, sweat, or saliva. Now, the sweat and saliva didn't surprise them, but the urine did. And I was like, really? Where are you getting your information? But, you know, I want to go back to something I said at the very beginning of this conversation. We've stopped talking about HIV/AIDS in a bigger way in the media. I think it's still uncomfortable for folks. Just to say the word urine on air may make some people uncomfortable, and I make no apologies for that. We need to have real conversations. But, Lori, when we talk about prevention, we have to talk about everything, not just the stuff that's comfortable to talk about.
No, I think that's exactly right, Tony. And, you know, HIV and AIDS got a lot of attention, certainly when the whole disease was recognized and named in the mid-'80s. And it had a lot more attention in the 90s. And I think the discomfort that you're referring to is really related to two different things. Number one, it just so happened that in this country, it was primarily gay men that showed up with the virus first. And that gave it a stigma that really reduced our comfort level with talking about a disease that we really needed to deal with. And then, of course, I just think we can't get around the fact that as a nation, we are simply not very comfortable about talking about sex and intercourse and saying the word urine on the air, for Pete's sake. And I think that's really the issue here. You know, I think a lot of people still don't understand how it is transmitted. It's transmitted by body fluids such as blood, semen, vaginal fluids, and breast milk. And those body fluids have to get inside somebody else's system, not on healthy skin, not in their mouth, but inside their system, into the blood system. So overall, the virus has a little bit of a challenge to infect another person, but it certainly happens on a regular basis. And some sexual activities put people at higher risk than others. Anal sex certainly isn't among it. And vaginal sex is higher risk for women than for men. But that doesn't mean that men can't contract it. You know, the good news is that prevention is just not rocket science. Good old American condoms will do the trick if you use them carefully and as the manufacturers intend. And I think we need to do a much better job of increasing our comfort level and talking about this in the schools. You know, I think one of the reasons that the black community is struggling with this more is that there really is an even larger stigma about infection. Lots of people are living longer. You know, when people first contracted HIV, they moved into AIDS very quickly, and they were much sicker, much quicker, and now a lot of people live 10, 15, 20 years. If we take a look at Magic Johnson, we know that's the case. And I think we're not doing enough to really give people information that allows them to remain healthy and avoid this infection.
Well, let's talk for a moment about, you know, certainly you've got the new clinic in Ferndale, which is wonderful, and we need to celebrate that. So there are opportunities. If I send people to PlannedParenthoodDetroit.com, are your centers easily available there? People can figure out where to go from there, Lori?
They are, and there's a link to PlannedParenthood.org that is the national link, and if people type in their zip code, they will be connected, or the system will help them find the nearest health center. And if people want to do it the old-fashioned way and call 1-800-230-PLAN, P-L-A-N, that's 1-800-230-PLAN, the magic of technology will connect them with the closest health center to where they're calling from.
I like that, the old-fashioned way, picking up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
You know, it's funny because my producer Jeff and I come from we're a generation apart. Everything in his world is email and texting, and I have said to him literally in the last year plus that I've known him, just pick up the phone and dial those digits, dude. That's sometimes the quickest path to getting to where you want to go. But you're right. It is the old-fashioned way. It is what it is. I just think it's important, again, that we continue to have this conversation. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how important Planned Parenthood has been in schools. And I would guess that, again, this is a common, when we're talking about preventing sexually transmitted diseases, this is part of that dialogue, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, and I think we offer augmented services. You know, lots of school districts and among the school health code, you have to offer some level of sexuality education. Various districts approach that in different ways. Some do a real comprehensive job and others not so much. But Planned Parenthood health educators are in a number of school districts and offer services to augment the work that the teachers themselves are doing. And we, you know, they rely on us in some places to be the real experts and have the cutting edge information.
Absolutely.
And for instance, I bet you a lot of people don't know about this new use of Truvada. So it's a great thing that you're putting it out there, and I think people will benefit from this information.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you guys again next week. And in the meantime, have a wonderful week.
Terrific. You too, Tony, and enjoy the day, rain or not.
There you go. Lori Lamoran again with Planned Parenthood, Mid and South Michigan. We'll come back, wrap it up on the other side. We got to get to the break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let me get to some announcements first, and then we'll circle back around. My friend Linda sends me an email that the West Bloomfield Lakes Democratic Club meets tonight at the Corners on Walnut Lake Road and Inkster. The meeting starts at 6:45. We'll go to approximately 8:30. So if you're out in that area and would like to check it out, go check it out. Want to remind you again, we had Courtney Foley on from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union a little bit earlier in the program, but this weekend is the Protect Michigan Jobs Weekend. The big blitz going on, door-to-door canvassing, petition gathering in public locations, a drive-through event in Mount Clemens with the CWA. Anyway, if you'd like more information or you would like to volunteer some of your time, give Debbie Buckland a call. Debbie can be reached at 810-599-2128, 810-599-2128. Also on this Saturday, May 19th at 7 o'clock at the Meadowbrook Country Club, the Democratic Spring Gala for the Northville, Livonia, Plymouth Community and West Oakland Democratic Clubs will be taking place there. Again, 7 o'clock, the keynote speaker, my friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. To get more information, send an email to James Amar at wideopenwest.com. That's JamesAmar at wideopenwest.com. Or simply call them 734-776-1763. And I hope to see some of you there. Also, on Sunday, May 27th, from 2 to 5 o'clock, there is a fundraiser for Congressman John Conyers, where our friend Jim Hightower, who you hear twice a day on this very program, will be a special guest for Congressman Conyers. Again, if you want more information on that, that's going to be a Colors restaurant in Detroit. Just contact DSA Green, DSAGREEN at AOL.com for more ticket information and to make reservations. And, well, we've got some other stuff, but I'm going to wait a little longer because it's a little bit off in the future and don't want to start inundating you with more than we need to before we need to. Anyway, great show today as we get ready to clean things up here. By the way, in the Jeff, in the Twitter universe, the Twitter sphere, what, I don't know how you would do that. It's just blowing up with this Roy Schmidt character from Grand Rapids switching from the Democratic to the Republican Party. A lot of unhappy people. Lots of unhappy people. as I'm sure you can surmise. Really unfortunate. Probably more for him at this point. I wouldn't wonder, we have Susan Demas tomorrow, right, Jeff?
Yes, we do.
I wonder if she's going to have something to say about this.
She's been one of the people on Twitter already talking about it.
Okay. Joe DeSano, by the way, this is what I love about Joe. I don't know if you saw his stuff, but in the article that I was reading a little earlier, what he said was, this is brilliant. The Republicans are brilliant for pulling this off at the 11th hour, and it's great. Roy Schmidt sucks. You gotta love Joe, man. He does not leave you wondering where he stands. All right, now I know this next story is going to cause some controversy, and some of it has to do with your political point of view, but not all of it, because there are Democrats that aren't afraid to say, yeah, they agree with this. Yesterday, a House panel approved drug testing for welfare recipients. Now, Jeff, you'll remember when Florida enacted this, the problems that it created, because what they found out, it wasn't worth it. Why it wasn't worth it is they thought they were going to be saving a lot of money, right? You'll remember that what they said was, you need to pay for the drug test, and if it comes to prove the pass that, you know, you didn't test positive, then the state would have to reimburse you for the drug test. Well, 97% or more of the time, they were reimbursing people for these drug tests. And so you really wonder if they just aren't paying attention or they just never learn. Adults and families receiving welfare benefits might have to submit to drug tests to continue those benefits under legislation reported yesterday in the House Families, Children, and Seniors Committee. I want to know who gets to name these committees. The bill, which is HB, it's House Bill 5223, reported on a nearly party-line vote, would create a one-year pilot in three counties where all new applicants and people seeking to renew benefits could be required to take a drug test at their own expense if the caseworker has reasonable suspicion the person is taking drugs. And I'd really like to know how you define reasonable suspicion. After the pilot, the program would be expanded statewide. Now, what I find interesting about that line, it doesn't say if the pilot is successful. No, it says after the pilot, the program would be expanded statewide. So it doesn't matter what the results are, it will be expanded. The committee rejected a series of Democratic amendments, because that's what these asshats do, including a requirement that legislators also be required to submit to drug tests and that the program be ended if results show fewer than 10% of recipients are testing positive for drug use. Yes, why would we want to do that? The committee also rejected amendments that would have allowed benefits to continue if the recipient ended a drug treatment program, because we do really want to kick people when they're down, don't we? I would imagine that there's more to this story coming. I know there will be, and I will be following it, I promise you. Folks, at the end of the day, I mean, let's stop and think about the lunacy. We go back to, again, what's going on in Florida, and we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the program was a failure. Why would we model something? Why would we model something after a failed program? Why would we do that? Well, I realize Michigan's not Florida. Florida's not Michigan. But let's just let that ruminate for a while, and we'll just let it go. For now, we'll let it go. For now. All right. With that said, as we get ready to wrap things up for today, again, we started the show by my saying, I can't believe it's already the middle of May and how quickly it's going. And it is flying by. It is flying by. Totally not political, totally bipartisan or unpartisan or nothing. This Sunday, for those of you that like to do yard work and landscaping, et cetera, is the big flower day at the Eastern Market. I would recommend you get there early if you're going to go, because last year they had over 200,000 people show up. It's the best place to go buy your stuff. It's less expensive. They've got fresh stuff. People come from all over the Tri-County area and beyond to bring fresh bushes and flowers and vegetables and you name it, it's there. So that's this Sunday. This Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday. All right. That's it for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. I have an amazingly busy day today, but I will make time to answer all emails, tony@thetonyshow.org. And that'll do it for us for now. As always, folks, I ask that you be well. See you tomorrow.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're still working that accident on southbound 75 just before Big Beaver that has your left shoulder blocked and it's causing slow traffic from Crooks. Now we got a disabled vehicle on your right shoulder on the Southfield Freeway southbound just before the 96 exit and that's causing slow traffic from 7 Mile. And on 94 eastbound as you approach the Southfield Freeway, you got a vehicle fire that's on your right shoulder. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight's going to drop down to 47. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 71. And it's currently 61 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk 13.